Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Elder Pogonsi, good afternoon to you.
Oh, good afternoon, my elder. How are you?
Very well, thank you. How are you doing?
It's a blessed day. I hope yours was too.
Mine has been a blessed day too. Thank you so much. Now, in our mind's eye, walk to the entrance of the ancient Hebrew sanctuary. This tour is guided by the descriptions we find in Exodus chapter 25 to 27. As fans separate the sanctuary from the rest of the camp, walk through the open gate and come to the courtyard, every article of furniture, every service, every detail about the sanctuary bears symbolism of Christ's ministry for us. For he is the way, the truth, and the life. That's coming from John 14, verse 6. Now, my elder, what is the reason for the specifics that were given for the construction of the earthly sanctuary? What's the significance?
Basically, it's to impress the mind. It's just to impress the mind, taking consideration that it was difficult for man living in sin to comprehend the mysteries, you know, of divinity. And it was of great need for man to be impressed of God's character. Right. So in order to comprehend these wonderful heavenly truths, you know, that God had designed for his character to be impressed in man's mind and heart, it was necessary to establish things which will be of type, you know, things which will be, whereas the Israelites will be able to comprehend by seeing through their acts, through their actions. You know, normally when people will search out the sanctuary on Google, you know, most pictures there, most images there, they look so neat. They look so neat and so beautiful. And you know, if you deeply read through, you know, the sanctuary was a very untidy place. It was bloody. It was bloody. And you know, where there's blood, you know, there's smell and odd smell. You know, so every day the services, you know, they were conducted, you know, there had to be a lamb or an animal that was sacrificed. And you know, having said that, you know, once a year there will be the great day of atonement, you know, that will be the day where as the whole sanctuary will be cleansed, you know. So imagine blood that will stay there for like over months, you know, and where there's stinking, where there's you know, bloodstained, it at in, and also taking consideration, this is in the wilderness, this is in the desert, it's very hot, and blood calls what flies, you know. You know, so in normal cases we're thinking that the sanctuary was a very clean place and so forth. It was cleansed only once a year, you know, so it was a tedious process both for the sinner and for the high priest. For just the high priest to be there, it was a self-sacrifice, it was a great sacrifice to live in those conditions. So the sinner had to be impressed on how deep sin is, principally, you know, to such that it will even hurt the person who will be representing, which is the high priest, whereas Christ himself, taking the Passover lamb, taking the lamb, taking the animal as a sacrificial lamb, and also being the high priest, being in the condition where it is smelly, being the condition where there's flies, being in the condition, you know, I'm just using natural laws here, you know, that how smelly it will be. So so the types there were there to actually to represent the whole heavenly sacrifice that Christ were to bear upon himself, of lowering himself to the state of being a man, you know, and dying for our sins, you know. So a sinner had to be impressed vividly. Having also mentioned that the articles there, they represent Christ. Everything there represent Christ. The lampstand mentioned yesterday represent Christ as the light of the world. The table of shewbread representing Christ as the bread of life. The altar of incense representing Christ's intercession and our prayers going up. We read about the veil, you know, separating the holy place and the most holy place. This represents, you know, the separation between God and humanity due to sin. You know that there are steps. There are steps to get to God. There are steps that to get to Christ. You know, you can never say once saved, always saved. This is a process. Sanctification is growth in Christ. Repentance is a gift from above, and it basically manifests that I'm growing in Christ. So by being repentant, you can't repent and go back to your old state. But repentance, it's a school of growing in Christ. Christ being the high priest, so the high priest there, the Levites being the high priest, representing Christ as our high priest. Just to go back in the outer court, the lamb that was slain, you know, or the animal that was slain, representing the Christ being the innocent being, taking the whole sins of the world, having done no wrong. We can relate by the antitype where John sees Christ and says, there is the lamb that takes away the sins of the people. You know, so Christ had to meet each and every type. He became the unleavened bread. He became the Passover lamb. You know, he became the wave sheeps. Paul writes about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. So in every symbolism, Christ had to meet.
Yeah. Now, what is the difference? I mean, I heard you talking about the temple.
Yeah.
Between the sanctuary and the temple.
You know, of God establishing the sanctuary within the prisons of the Israelites' camp, they had to be impressed with God's character. That he is a God of love, he is a God of justice, and he is an all-forgiving father. It was to vindicate God's character, but not only so, but the Israelites had to also be impressed on how they need to conduct their livelihood, and that was to be in holiness. Right. So the goal in their mind was about the law of God, right? For which the law of God was in the most holy place. So taking in contrast, taking in definition of the sanctuary, that it is God's dwelling place in holiness, right? So the Israelites had to be impressed that in God dwelling in the sanctuary, being impressed of this surroundings being holy, their bodies had to represent the holiness whereas God will dwell in. Does it make sense? So sometimes there are three temples that are brought to view in the Bible, right? We learn about the heavenly temple, right, where God dwells. We mentioned those verses yesterday, right? Jeremiah, he mentions that in the beginning there is our sanctuary, right? So the Bible at times will represent God's dwelling place as the temple, right? That's the temple being represented in the scriptures. Then we also find our bodies also being the temple, you know, being represented as the temple where God's spirit rules, Paul says, and reigns, right? So this, our bodies, we learn about in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, know ye not that your bodies is the temple of the Holy Ghost? We also learn in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17, if any man defile the temple of God, right, him God shall destroy. For the temple of God is holy. Which, then he asks, which temple are ye? So our bodies also represent the temple of God. So the difference is... there's not much difference. Our temple, these bodies, right, are sanctuaries themselves, right?
Yeah.
And by having established the earthly sanctuary, man had to be impressed on how his body, his temple, have to be conducted.
Mm.
Does it make sense?
Yeah. No, yep.
So of the earthly sanctuary having the Passover lamb or having the bull that had to be sacrificed and having the high priest, our bodies, right? They do. Christ died for our sins, right? We died for our sins, and everything is conducted for our sins,
yep.
right?
Mm.
And he stands as the high priest for our sanctuary. You know, I think it's in the book of Ezekiel where he says that when the Israelites be scattered, you know, there shall be as little sanctuaries everywhere, right?
Mm.
So we ourselves are sanctuaries, having the high priest, being cleansed by the blood of the Lamb, you know, being our bodies being atoned for. So in a nutshell, it's one and the same thing. The earthly sanctuary was to impress the minds of the great sacrifice that they had to do so that to know the in-depth of sin, right?
Mm.
So this, our bodies, are earthly sanctuaries.
Mm, My.
So the temple is a sanctuary.
Yes. Now, what exactly is the ministry of Christ in the heavenly sanctuary? What does it entail?
The beauty aspect of this is that Christ stands as the high priest of the heavenly sanctuary. As much as the sinner with hope being outside in the outer court, in the ancient, earthly sacrifice, you know, with hope that the high priest, when he comes out of from the most holy place, you know, or from the holy place, right? Hoping that his sins are forgiven, right? And it is that, you know, with that hope, right?
Yeah.
You know, he will leap with joy. He will leap with joy to know that he comes, he will go out of the temple, he will go out of the sanctuary, out of the outer court, you know, being feeling cleansed, feeling liberated, feeling new again. Does it make sense?
Mm.
So it is with the antitype, Christ having ascended to the heavenly places, right? In reading Hebrews chapter 7 and 8, him being the high priest according under the order of the priest Melchizedek. That's Hebrews chapter 7, right? Being the high priest, interceding for us, working with us in this journey of Christianity. He's not only interceding, but he is strengthening us day by day. Philippians 1 verse 6, to him who began a good work in you shall complete it until the day, right, of his coming. So we have hope that all divinity, the whole supreme divine, you know, is working on our behalf. We are not left alone miserably to such that there's no invisible beings to assist us in our day-to-day walk of life. In our weaknesses, we can carry everything to the Lord in prayer. Angels are working tirelessly, you know, to ensure us that we walk in strength and with a hope for a better tomorrow. In our disappointments, heaven has got it, you know, and that is the hope that we have, that surely the Lord God has got it, and we are daily strengthened. And that is the work of Christ in the heavenly places, that we have one who looks like us, who is human flesh, and he has taken the human flesh for eternity. And that's one thing that we have to know. He represents mankind. As much as he is human in the heavenly place, he is also God. Stretch his hands, stretching forth, controlling the heavens and the earth, the planets, the universes, the galaxies. And that's the most beautiful aspect, you know, of it, that our big brother up there in the heavenly places, he represents us, frail, knowing how we are living in this world, because he himself has taken upon, you know, our experiences. For he was tempted in all manner of temptations, but neither did he give in. So it gives us comfort. It gives us comfort that Christ has gone through this walk of life and he stands in the heavenly places representing us, our beautiful, big brother.
Beautiful, beautiful. Well, Maeda, before I let you go, what would you then say is to remember a point for this afternoon?
The most important thing is to be impressed with God's character, that God is a God of love. And that's all. That's what, you know, in all scriptures, you know, about 1,188 verses, you know, in the Bible, they all sum up that God is love. God is love. Amidst the consequences of sin, amidst what you may be going through, you know, no matter how tough it is, the sanctuary message is about you being impressed that God is love and he will never give up. He will never give up. He remains faithful. You know, you may have gone through disappointments in the past. Your past may be filled with failures and so forth, but it does not change that God loves you. And that's the whole point about the sanctuary. Approach the sanctuary message with the mindset of learning about God's love. It's not about ancient relics and customs and so forth. No, it's more deeper than that. It's about you being impressed of what heaven is doing on your behalf.
Well, that's a beautiful man. I must thank you so much for coming through this afternoon. We're going to be talking to you tomorrow at the same time and the same place. Goodbye.
See you there.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.